That was great this morning. I don't know about you, I really enjoyed that. No need for drums, no need for anything, just guitar and voice. That's all we need in the end, isn't it? It was good. Yeah, very much enjoyed it. Conscious of time with our new schedule, so I'll try and jump in, and Matt's already taken 5 minutes of my slot. So, so let me jump straight in. Kids, I'm going to talk to you in a minute and focus on you, and it'll be great, because really I'm going to talk to you guys. But what do you reckon the chances are that some of the grown-ups will get something out of it as well? So I'll home in on you. But backtracking, the last time I spoke, I'd sort of been captivated by this thought, or really the questions that Jesus asked people in Scripture, because they're obviously the most profound. He always cut straight to the heart of what he needed to do with a question. So we sort of looked at, what did you go out to see? What did you go to see? Why have you come here? When John the Baptist's disciples started following him, he said, "What are you seeking? What do you want?" Liv raised it this morning. We had, "What do you want me to do for you?" with blind Bartimaeus, and other times, "What do you want me to do?" And then, what else did we have? I can't remember. But essentially, what do you want? Why are we here this morning? So hold that in our heads. I'm going to go to that all the way at the end of the talk. So let me get a scripture ready. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start with some questions, and everyone's got to be really honest. So kids, you can be dead honest as well. No one will be looking at you though, right? And if you've got any sense, you'll look around the room as well, and then you'll be able to see who answers what with what. It'll be quite good fun, but everyone has to be honest. So let's just start with some questions. Has anyone ever done anything wrong? You have to put your hands up for this. Yeah. Right, everyone, Pete's put two hands up. But that could have been unintentional. Has anyone ever done anything wrong that they knew they shouldn't be doing, but they did it anyway? Right. Yeah, well, I'm looking at you, my kids. Like, come on, you're definitely putting your hands up. All right, has anyone ever been jealous? You kids, have you ever been jealous of something or someone or something that someone's got? All right then, so then after that, you have to then ask, so on the back of being jealous, has anyone ever been nasty or said something nasty or been nasty because you're jealous? They're slowing down, but good. You've got to look around. Look at all the grown-ups. You're getting all the dirt here. So to be transparent, when I was young, this is horrible, I was probably about Harry's age, we used to have two footballs. It was me and my older brother, and we had two footballs, one each. And whenever we went to the park, we always took his football because it was much better than mine. It was legitimately a better football. But I was jealous of that. And so one day, just in the cold light of day, I walked into the garage and I stabbed his football. And then from then on, we had to take my football, which was rubbish. But I wanted my ball to be played with. And so I was jealous, and then I did something really nasty. How about that? Not good. Don't tell Uncle Richard, he still doesn't know. So, all right then, who has ever told a lie? Oh yeah, Harry's lying now by not putting his hand up. But yeah, we've told lies. Who's ever lost their temper? Yeah, they're doing well. You look around, it's good, isn't it? You get it all now. And who's ever lost their temper and got angry? Who's ever got angry? And who's ever then shouted at someone in their anger? Yeah. You've been named, yeah. All right, so who has ever hurt someone, punched someone, or said something again, something mean, you've hurt someone? And who is a good one, right, kids? You might not know what this means, so I'll tell you. Who's ever coveted something? Now, it's different to jealousy. Coveted is like, it's like a deep yearning, like I really, really want that thing. And it's often something, again, that someone else has got. And that's what coveting is. It's like, I want that. Who's ever felt like that about something? And then what happens often is people can then steal something. Again, right, to put me out there, primary school, cold light of day, we used to have these figures. I can't remember what they were called. There was loads of them in the 90s, and they came in packets. And there was one figure that was really rare, and no one ever got it. And this boy called Andrew Dias came in, and he said, "Look what I've got." And he had it. And again, in my mind, I just thought, I am having that. I had to have it. And so in break, in year four, in the Terrapins, I walked in, I went into his backpack, and I took it, and I put it in my stuff, and I did not bat an eyelid. I just thought, I want that, and I'm having it. And he told the teacher, because I was the only person he'd shown it to, and they dragged me up after class, and he was crying, and he said, he's stolen my thing. And they said, have you? And I said, no, I haven't. And I kept it. And I said, again, mad, isn't it? But I was young. I was a little kid. What was making me do that? Year four. What's that? You're going into year four, Lucy. Man, you wouldn't have wanted me in your class, would you? What was that about? You know, my parents were good parents. They never taught me to do that. But I was just, that was what was going on. So, anyway, is anyone here then perfect? I think we've established. No. No one is perfect. And, you know, we've all established now, yeah. None of us are perfect. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you kids ever do this. I used to do this. And I think, to be honest, this is what grown-ups do. This is what grown-up Christians do. We just probably wouldn't articulate it like this. But I remember as a kid, sometimes, because I was in trouble quite a bit, I would sometimes wake up, maybe on a Monday morning, and just think, right, Johnny, this week, I am going to be perfect. I'm going to be so good. I'm going to be good at school. I'm going to be really good at home. I'm just going to do everything right, and I'm going to make everyone happy so no one has to shout at me, and I'm going to absolutely, this is the time. Do you ever feel like that, kids? Do you ever sort of think, come on, I've not been doing well. I seem to be in trouble. This time, though, I'm going to do it. I did, anyway. I don't know about you. But the problem with that, and you might disagree, you might agree, but at some point, I would always blow it. You know, normally mid-morning on the Monday or something. But I could not be perfect. I couldn't do it. I made the same mistakes again and again and again. And there's a very famous scripture, obviously we all know it, in Romans 3. And it says this, it says, for all have sinned. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? These things that we're talking about, lying, getting angry, losing our temper, stealing, etc. They're sin. So all of us, the Bible says, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So who is perfect? No one. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we want to be good, but we can't. That's how, you know, that's the reality of life as we grow up. We want to be able to just do it perfectly, but we can't. We just keep getting it wrong. And I know, you all know, we all know that's because of sin, because of our free will and sin that came into mankind. And we haven't got time for all of that, but that's what happens. We can't do it. And so you think, well, what's the answer? And some people essentially think, all right, well, I'll go to church, I'll read my Bible, I'll talk to God about stuff, I'll pray, and I'll try and do all the good stuff, and I'll try and stop doing all the bad stuff, and if I do bad stuff, I'll ask Jesus to forgive me, and then I'll get up and try harder. Essentially, that's what we slip into. That's what people think will do it. But the problem with that way of life, or trying to fix things that way, is that really nothing has changed, has it? And we're still just the same person trying to sort of cover up what is all there, and it just doesn't work. And then you get this. Kids, I don't know if you've ever heard this scripture, right? See what you think of this. This is from John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. You all know Nicodemus, the small, short chap. So Nicodemus asks him a question, and Jesus responds by saying this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus rightly says, what do you mean? What do I have to get back into my mummy's tummy and be born all over again? Like, it doesn't make any sense what you've just said. And then Jesus goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Our natural, that's how we're born, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You think, right, what does all that mean? Being born again, born of the flesh, born of the Spirit, what on earth are you talking about? And so what I'm talking about is the fact that because of Jesus, kids, this is the genius, because of Jesus and God's amazing plan of rescue and salvation, and we've been hearing about all this morning, he gives us new life so that we can do the things that we want to do to please God, and we can stop doing the things that didn't please God. And what I want to talk about is something from Ezekiel. And again, we all know this, and probably you kids all know this as well. But let's listen to it, because this is the answer to that question. What on earth does that mean, to be born again? Listen to this. This is God speaking, and he says in chapter 25 of Ezekiel 36, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, your sin, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you, listen to this, kids, this is God speaking, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways and to be careful to obey my rules. God says to us, because of what Jesus has done, dying on the cross and being raised again, I will give you a heart transplant. I will take your old heart that made us all put our hands up for stuff at the beginning, remove that and give us a new heart, which is not stony and hard and full of sin, but is soft and wants to please God and is looking towards God rather than looking away from God. And then he says, and then I will put my spirit within you. So this is a really good package for people that don't deserve any of this. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he shed his blood. What does that mean? It means by his blood, he can forgive us all those things that we had to put one and two hands up about, and he washes those things away so we are clean and we know we've been forgiven all those things. Then he puts inside of us a new heart. And when the Bible talks about heart, it's talking about soul or spirit or who we are, the inner man or inner woman that people can't see, but who we are in there. That's what the Bible's talking about. It says he will give us a new heart. So we've been washed clean. We've been given a new heart. And then, he says, and then I will give you my spirit. I, God himself, will come and live inside us. Wow, that is good. A heart transplant. From everything that was old and stony and broken and doing things wrong all the time, he puts in a new heart that is soft and turn towards God, and then he gives us his spirit so we can learn to walk and pray and resist temptation. Amazing. And so when we come to Jesus, everything changes. That's the plan. That's how it's supposed to happen. But again, we sort of fall into this trap of trying to just do things right and go to church and read the Bible, and that must be the answer, but it's not. We mustn't sort of forget the fact that we can miss this. I was talking to Mike this week, and he said he heard someone speak once at a dedication or something or a baptism, and they essentially made the comment that, you know, it's fine, just come to Jesus, you don't have to change, just come. And it's like, no, you see, there is the problem. That is completely wrong. You don't just come to Jesus and it's fine, stay as you are, tidy yourself up. When you come to Jesus, the Bible says, and again, forgive me, we haven't got time to go into all of it, but we have to be willing to say, all of this and that heart and everything that is me and my life that I hold on to, Jesus, I give it to you. I give it away. The Bible says, what is it? He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life will find it, will find life, will be given that new heart. So when we come to Jesus, it's man alive. Change is what it's all about. It's Jesus, I am willing to give you my life and to ask you to give me that new heart that you've promised those who come to you and submit to you. And then he fills us with his spirit, God himself living in each one of us. Oh, these are simple gospel things, but they are profoundly powerful, and we must not forget them. He teaches us to walk and to pray and to love and to resist temptation. Not perfect by any means, but amazing. Let me read some scripture. I feel like I've missed lots of scriptures. I don't think I have. But what I'm really talking about this morning is the fact that God deals in the matters of the heart. Not just here. By all means, here. And we are, you know, we take this book seriously and we should study this book and we should be into theology and we should be informed. But it's not just here. Really, what God is saying through these things is that God deals in the matters of the heart. That's what he's looking at. The things that make us us. And he says, that I'm going to give you a new heart. Not that one that you were born with that made us all do this repeatedly. Because we all just did it wrong. We did it wrong. We did it wrong. Because that heart was fundamentally broken and just constantly doing things that were wrong and sinful. That's just who we are. And then this is why we say, thank you, Jesus. And this is why we come to church and get all excited and just come and sing and put our hands in the air, because Jesus came and said, I will take that away. You haven't done anything to deserve this, but I will come, I will take away all your sin, I will clean you, I'll give you a new heart, and I will come and live inside you. God is bothered and deals with people's hearts. That's where it's at. We know in, obviously with David, David is probably about my sort of height, not a big guy compared to the other warriors, overlooked in many ways, but God looked straight into his heart and said, that guy, he's got a heart like mine. And that's what he was interested in. In Proverbs 21, this is genius, just painting a picture, making a point again. It says this: every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. That's where he's looking. Again, God deals with our hearts. That's what he's looking at. And listen to this. This is David. We all know this from Psalm 51. But I just want to I'm just trying to stir us up this morning, children and grown-ups alike. But this is where it's at. This is Psalm 51. This is what we should be praying. Hear all this. He says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And it goes on. This is David praying, pouring himself out after he's done something terrible. And he comes to God and he says, please, wash me, create in me a new heart. Again, this is what we need, isn't it? Heart. He deals with our hearts. God is interested in heart connection with us. We spend so much time up here, don't we, and just plodding along in life. But what God is interested in is heart connection, heart fellowship. That's where he's at. It's not just all to be up here. We go back to those questions at the beginning. Why are you here? What do you want? Why are we all sat here? What did you come to see? Well, I suggest, kids, and you can do this, an answer to, you know, Jesus saying, what do you want? You know, Jesus walked in now and said, what do you want? He's here now, but he said, what do you want, Harry? What do you want, Lucy? I suggest to you a good thing to pray and to answer that is, God, I want a new heart, because I keep doing this. I keep saying I can't do it. So I'm suggesting, ask for a new heart. And for the rest of us, that might be where it's at anyway. Give me a new heart, Lord, please. Or soften my heart. We used to have a student called Harry Crawley, some of you will remember. And he was great. He was sort of like a bit of a mystic and a thinker, but a really great guy. And we used to, all the guys, we used to have a lot of student guys then, we used to go and meet once every Thursday at a pub down on the canal and sit and talk. And I would I'd be wanting to just basically get involved in these guys' lives. And this guy, Harry, once said, guys, imagine your soul is a house, right? How does your house look? it's what students do, isn't it? It was all mystical, but I jumped on it, and every week we'd all say, right, guys, what does your house look like this week? Is it a tip, and there's, you know, windows broken and the wind howling through, or is it all in order and it's a warm place and the fire's on and all the rest? And we got into it. It was a very good way to sort of just get into each other's lives by Harry's nice little picture. But essentially, my question is this morning, right, not just to you guys, but to everyone. Because what is God interested in? He's interested in the matters of our heart. That's where He deals with us. So how is your heart this morning? How is my heart? I've been asking myself this as I've prepped this. I shared really openly in our Connect group this week. You know, I felt stony cold this week. I felt tired, felt run down. I felt sad and shattered, and just everything was just, I'm running out of steam. And so I said, guys, you've got to pray for me. I've got to preach this morning. I've got other things I've got to go and do. But I was asking myself that question. Kids, grown-ups, everyone. Where are we at? What does your house look like? How is your heart? How are we doing? Is it soft? Is it enjoying God's, you know, fellowship with him? Fellowship with his spirit? With everything that was going on this morning, are we enjoying the benefits of that and his love and his grace as he comes? Or is it all feeling a bit windswept and dark and cold and stony and, you know, not a good picture of a house? So that's the question. How is our heart? That's where God wants to deal with us, in the matters of the heart. So kids, you can be asking for new hearts, and grown-ups, we might be asking for new hearts, or be asking for God to soften us, or to just, yeah, break up where we've become hard, and we don't feel like we're hearing from him. And I continually find myself just praying along these, Lord, don't let me become hard and cynical towards you or towards anything, but just keep that heart that you've put in me that isn't of stone. Please, Lord, keep it soft. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, we celebrate you this morning. Jesus, we celebrate that you alone can rescue, you alone can save. Lord, no one else, nothing else would be able to address or help or touch in any way this condition of our hearts that we've been thinking about this morning, Lord. We all know it to be true. And then we meet you, Jesus, and you are the only one who can save us and rescue us from that endless cycle of just doing things wrong and just being disconnected from you. And Jesus, you bring us home. Lord, you bring us freedom and you bring us back to yourself and you free us from all of those things. You do give us a new heart, a heart of flesh and not of stone, one that is directed towards you. And it's there, Lord, that you meet with us in our day-to-day lives. And we are so, so thankful, Lord. Amen.